that one's going. So today is June 2nd, 2022. Time by my clock is about 12:29 p.m. I'm Michael Livingston. We're in Unalaska, Alaska at 88 King Street. And if you would tell me your name, sir.
My name is Coe Whitkern.
And Coe, where were you born?
Well, this is a trick, but I was born in Peru, Indiana.
Okay. And can I ask your age today?
I'm 76.
And how did you end up in Unalaska?
I came here with my parents in the summer of 1949 and was here for 8 years with my parents until my father and one brother passed in a boating accident as they died. So my parents were missionaries here. They were the last missionaries in a string of Methodist missionaries, starting with the children's home that was here, the Jesse Lee Children's Home, started nominally in 1890. The building we're in, the boys' dormitory, I believe was built in 1903.
And so you moved here in the summer of 1949, and then you were here for 8 years?
Yes, my father died, and my younger brother, Quentin, died, a four-year-old. Dad was 38, Quentin was four. In a boating accident, they capsized and couldn't get to shore and died of exposure in 1957, October of 57.
And what is your father's name?
C, the letter C, Keith Whitkern. In my father's family, the oldest son was always Charles. So my dad's name was really Charles Keith Whitkern. But since it was confusing to have two Charles Whitkerns, his dad was Charles Whitkern, and he was C. Keith Whitkern. When he wrote his name, he'd write C. Keith Whitkern, and he called him Keith.
And that was in October 1957, and then did you leave?
And within a very short period of time, probably 2 weeks or less, we had moved back to where my mom was from in southeast Michigan. My dad was a Indiana farm boy, and my mom was a Michigan farm girl.
What's their name of a town in southeast Michigan?
She was from Prattville, Michigan.
And then did you end up returning to Unalaska?
When I left here as an 11-year-old boy, I had a given. I never processed it. I will come home when I can. And I've lived that out every day of my life since then.
And so when did you return to Unalaska?
The first opportunity I had was when I graduated from college. I came back for the summer in 1968 with a friend of mine, Tom Borton. Tom and I worked together with his dad in a construction business in the summers for me because I was in college. And so Tom and I came and spent the summer. I went to school to be a school teacher so that I could come back here, because at the time I was making those plans, there was still no real way to make a living here. And so if I was a school teacher, I could make a living. That was my plan. And I taught school 1 year in Michigan. After that visit to Unalaska, there wasn't any high school here when I came here, but there was going to start one that fall. And Al Dalrymple, who's still in the community here, was the first high school teacher. I taught a year in Michigan, convinced my Michigan farm girl to come up here and marry me, and we started for Unalaska the next day from Michigan, drove across the country, and then flew up from there. But
if I can back up a little bit, where did you go to college?
I went to Adrian College in Adrian, Michigan, about 30 miles from Prattville, Michigan, where my mom still had her home. My brother Chuck, who was 2 years older than me, we rented when we were first back there, and various places seemed to have to move every once in a while. But when my brother Chuck was going to be a junior in high school in the fall, that summer, he told Mom, he said, "Mom, if you want, I could build you a house." Mm-hmm. Never done anything like this. Hasn't had any construction experience, but he's an unusual guy. Witterns are. I'm more of a Durling, my mom's side, but so Chuck told Mom he could do it. Mom got one of her brothers to give her an acre out of the corner of a field that was on a paved road. And we had a contractor put in the basement and a shell, just one big room, open framing, no ceilings, just the rafter, the joists. And my brother Chuck, not yet a junior in high school, built us a home, a four-bedroom house with a garage.
And so what year did you return to Unalaska?
I came back for the summer in 68. My wife and I, we got married June 22nd in 69. And we came to Unalaska, drove across the country and right on up to Unalaska and got here some probably early July or something. And that was in 69. And I was the second high school teacher and the first basketball coach.
And over the years that you've lived here, what different occupations have you had?
Well, for the first 9 years, I taught school. And interestingly enough, all those little kids are now grandparents, it seems like. But while I was still teaching, I because I had experience in construction from college summers, I had purchased this mission block we're on here from the Methodists before I had my first real paycheck. I went home after my visit and told Mom, I said, the superintendent of missions said that he doesn't know what to do with the derelict out there, and I told him he needs to do better. And he said, make me an offer. So I said, Mom, will you lend me some money? So I bought the city block. With the house thrown in for free because it was junk, basically. And it's the old boys' dormitory of the Jesse Lee Children's Home, of course. And then it was the mission house until my father's death. Anyway, can't remember where we're at here.
You were going to mention some of the different occupations.
Occupation. So I built my first house on this block, salvaged old army buildings and resawed lumber and stuff, but I bought some new stuff, obviously the siding and the shingles and the interior drywall and stuff I bought, but it's basically built out of salvaged military lumber, and that was in started in 75 and finished in 76, and my youngest son Corey was born there in November 25th, Thanksgiving Day it was at the time, of 76, in that house. Mm. Yeah, it's cool. The other ones, I didn't get to be there. My wife had to go to Michigan with her folks and have the kids and then come back. And I was teaching school and couldn't leave. And yeah, so after that, after my 9 years of teaching, I branched out. I did do some more building while I was teaching in the summers. So I was developing my building skills. I built my first duplex in 77 on the block. And then also in, this jumps backwards a little bit, Universal Seafoods, now called Unicy, came up here and started building their facilities in 74. And they had, Dick Pace was the CEO of Unicy. And he hired his next-door neighbor in Woodinville, Washington, to be his construction superintendent. That's Ron Bundy. Ron Bundy had been a two-man contracting residential construction company in the west side of Lake Washington. And he lived in Woodinville, where Dick Pace had his home. And Dick Pace hired Ron Bundy, this two-man contractor, to build Unicy, multi-million-dollar seafood operation. And so Ron got his partner to come up here with him, and they decided they would hire inexperience rather than poor character. So he went to a 19-year-old kid in his church in Woodinville and said, find me six or seven other young men like yourself that have good character, and we'll teach you to be builders, and we're going to build the seafood plant. They were known locally here as the God Squad. And they did a really good job. And almost all of them had dropped out of some kind of advanced education, Bible school or regular college or junior college, to come up for a break. And of those, it ended up being 8 guys. My friend Tom Borton had spent the summer up here in 68 with me, came back up and was in that God Squad. Anyway, almost all of those guys ended up not going back to school and being full-time in construction. Because they were taught so well. They just loved it. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. So when I quit teaching, I went full-time into construction. I got a contractor's license, and I built as a contractor for just maybe 3 years. That would have been, it doesn't matter how straight the story gets probably, but the first year I built a 6-unit apartment building that I planned to have as a rental on some property up the valley. But I ended up selling it to a couple skippers of crab boats because it was fun to have a bunch of money. And so then after that, I went into being a contractor. I did it for about 3 years. And then I dropped back to being an owner builder, and would periodically, I've got, 2 more rental units. I got a total of 4 duplexes that I built on my block, plus the mission house is actually a duplex. So I resorted to being an owner builder, but also I started Unalaska Building Supply True Value. It wasn't True Value. It started in 1980, and it wasn't True Value until 1990. So I have this progression from teacher to builder to owner builder, contractor, back to owner builder, and then businessman. And now I'm, if you say you're retired, that means you've been tired more than once, right? That's okay, I'm retired.
And so, if I remember correctly, somewhere along the way you met Benny Benson.
And so when we acquired the old mission house, Phyllis and I, we had to do an extensive amount of work before I could move into it. So I lived in my mom's rental on the next block that she used to have to rent to school teachers. She sold it eventually, but we lived there for several months while we cleaned out this place here. It was really a mess. And then we moved into it about the time school was starting in 69, and we lived in it until we got our next house on this block built in 76, finished in 76. And so what was the original question again?
So somewhere along the way you met Ben.
Okay, so we lived in this house quite a lot of the time, not all the time, but we lived in it continuously from when we came here in 69 and got moved into it until 76. And so Benny Benson came out here to reconnect with his roots and stuff a year before he died of cancer. And I believe that was 72. I believe it was 72. I'm fairly solid on that, but it could be verified by looking back a year from when he died.
And how did Benny get out here? Do you remember?
We would have flown out on Reeves.
Would he have flown by himself?
No, his wife was with him. She was, I presume, probably Aleut, but she was Alaska Native for sure.
Anybody else with him?
No.
And how long did you spend visiting Benny?
I think they only came here and visited us one day, but they were in town more than that.
And what did Benny tell you?
My goodness. Benny went through this whole house and told me what used to be everywhere. And so he's my solidest anchor for what was where, when.
Let me try to narrow down the question. When you and I met a couple days ago in the big school gymnasium, you related to me a story about where Benny designed the flag.
Okay, yeah. One of the things Benny said was that he wanted me to know that even though Juneau gets credit for him being from Juneau and from the children's home, not Juneau, Seward, get it right there, Seward, from the children's home in Seward, he said, yes, I won the contest while I was in Seward, but he says, I want you to know I designed the flag here in this house, here in Unalaska. And he says, unfortunately, Unalaska hasn't gotten credit for me designing the territorial flag in Unalaska.
And do you remember where in the house you were when you had that conversation?
Not with total certainty, but probably right here in this room, which was Newhall's social living space. It's a, the northwest corner of the downstairs.
And can you describe to me what condition Benny was in?
Well, at the time he came, he was in remission from cancer, and he had lost one leg. It looks like, I've got a picture here, and it was his right leg taken off just above the knee, and he was on crutches. But he was doing well, quite mobile, feeling good, but he did die the following year of a reoccurrence.
And did he give you any details about how he designed the flag here?
He did not. No, but it is true, and I think he did say this. He said it's true that that's the song that's been written is based on what he told them, that eight stars of blue on a field of gold, what it means and stuff in that song. He said that's what I said when I submitted my entry.
And was it important? Do you feel it was important to Benny that the record be straight about where the flag was designed?
It was important for him to let me know, and he did express some modest level of remorse that it is not public knowledge. He said, I wish that people could get credit for what I did here as well as what I won in Seward.
And best you can, are you able to remember his exact words?
Not any better than I've already said.
Okay. Okay. But he was adamant?
Adamant, isn't he? He was just comfortable. He wasn't worked up at all. He was just telling me.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell me about the picture you have?
He wanted a picture. I took this picture, my wife did, but he also, I would think, has pictures too. I'm not certain, but I would think that in his stuff there'd be pictures somewhere. And this is a picture of him and me and Robert and Isaiah Krukoff. They were probably like 5 and 6 years old, and they were foster kids that we had at the time. And there, Robert's holding his right hand, and Isaiah's holding his left hand, and I'm standing to his left. And I look a little different now. time, Robert and Isaiah.
Time does pass by, but and then Benny, he's got two crutches. And he's missing
right leg up to above the knee.
Okay, is he holding anything else in his hands, or no? Or
no, he just has the boy's hands.
Okay, and that's the picture's taken in front of this house.
That's right there. Yep, okay. Right out in front yard, diagonally to the northeast.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to say about Benny Benson saying that he designed the flag here?
Nothing that I'm aware of. It was just a passing thing. It wasn't the focus of our time together, but he did mention it, and he did express that unfortunate that we don't get our part of the story.
And this came straight from Benny?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm going to shut off these recorders.
if there's nothing else you'd like to add about Benny, was it a nice visit with him?
It was really good. He was really glad to be back, and he had a tremendous appreciation for the foundation of family he had here. This children's home wasn't an institution, it was a family to him.
If I remember right, you told me a story about where Dr. Newhall's desk was located.
Yes, over in this room behind us that was the social space for the Newhalls privately. Then he said that corner, which would be in the northeast corner of that room, he said that right there is where Dr. Newhall's desk was. I'm absolutely certain, and I'm just letting you know because I know for sure. He was very, there's a few things he was adamant about. He was adamant about that's where the desk was.
And did he say something particular happened sometimes underneath that desk?
Well, he said the reason I know the desk was there was he said that if we did something that was wrong, and it was clearly wrong, and we wouldn't acknowledge it, we couldn't see that it was wrong, he said Dr. Newhall would let us sit, and let us isn't quite the right word, but he would have us sit under the desk and think about it until we could grasp that what we did was wrong. Then we could come out.
And you took me on a wonderful tour of your home, and you showed me the attic. What is upstairs in the attic that's connected to Benny Benson?
Well, one thing very directly is that on the southwest side of the attic, there are still the original clothes bins that are built out of shipping crates that are fastened to the sloping rafters of the roof that were made to be cubicles. And each cubicle had a paper identifying tag on it with a typewritten name on it. And that was each boy's clothes bin, and those tags are still there from the last boys to live in the home when it was moved in 25. And Benny Benson's name is still on his clothes bin, and he was so excited to see it, and he stood by it and had his picture taken by it, and he was just thrilled to find his name was still on his clothes bin. His brother Carl, who was younger, Carl Benson, his name is still on his clothes bin, and a number of other people.
In your remodeling of the building, or in your living here, and all the years you've lived here, did you bump into their sister's name?
I don't know of that. If she was in the children's home, she would have been in the girls' dorm, which was up in the next block, and it was the major facility for the home. The boys' dormitory was strictly a dormitory. They went and ate in the girls' dorm. The cooking was in the girls' dorm. The chapel was in the girls' dorm. The laundry was in the girls' dorm. It was a much bigger building, and this is a big building.
The girls' dorm is not around anymore.
The girls' dorm had a fire in the third floor. It had three floors and a stand-up attic. And it had a fire in the third floor, which really damaged it, but it was survivable, didn't burn through the roof, but it needed to be replaced. When you balloon frame a three-story plus building in the Aleutians where the wind blows 120 several times a year usually, or at least 100 a couple times a year, those things shook like washing machines. This house used to shake so bad that my son wouldn't stay in the bedroom in the wing when it was 100 plus. He'd come back and to a more central part of the house in case it blew away. But we, when we remodeled, we stripped off all the board siding, which was horizontal, which made it rack easily instead of being diagonal. And we resheeted it with plywood, with locks set up solid, and it doesn't wiggle. But that girl's dorm was not stable, and it had fire damage, and it was torn down as soon as the home was closed.
I might have asked you this question already, but let me try again. When Benny was touring your home, did he say any place in the home that he might have designed the flag?
No, he didn't get specific.
Okay.
And he may have designed it sitting at school or something. I don't know. But it was in Onalaska. and he was living here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me shut off these recorders. Give me a second here. So the time now by my clock is 12:54 p.m.